Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Hi, welcome to today's program. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Neil Stavem. This is Connecting Faith, and we always look forward to the opportunity to talk about people in a variety of life circumstances and situations and how they let the faith inform life day by day, how we can connect faith to life every day. That's our passion here at the Faith Radio. And we have a great opportunity this hour to visit with someone who has been talking about purpose and finding, hanging on to your values and your, as he would describe it, true north. We're going to talk today with Bill George, a respected senior fellow at Harvard Business School, and he's enjoyed teaching leadership in his practice management classes for 10 or a dozen years probably now. He's authored a number of best-selling books, including True North, Discover Your True North, and we've got a copy of the updated and expanded version here in front of us. Bill's a former CEO of Medtronic, a medical device manufacturer, and leader in the fight for better global health care. He also served with Honeywell and Litton Industries before that. He serves on a number of boards, and he was on the campus of the University of Northwestern today, and so we had an opportunity to connect with him. And Bill, welcome to Faith Radio.
Neil, it's great to be here. I've heard your show so many times. It's nice to see you in person. And also, I just learned this. I didn't know that one of my role models founded your station, Billy Graham.
Yes.
And what an amazing man he is, still going strong at 97. I remember we were able to bring him here for the Minnesota Prayer Breakfast, 25 years ago when I was the chair. And what a beautiful talk he gave.
Yeah, we have a wonderful heritage. And in fact, maybe we'll talk a little bit about that as well, because heritage is sort of important when it comes to establishing the right kind of leadership. And we're going to get to some of those things and unpack a few of the insights in the book, True North, Discover Your True North, Discover Your Authentic Leadership. But, Bill, the fact is that while most leaders are successful and companies are doing well, the failures always attract attention. So I thought maybe we'd just start there. Why do leaders fail? Are there common characteristics?
There sure are. That's why I wrote the book Discover Your True North, because they lose sight of who they are. Your true north is basically your most deeply held beliefs, the values that you cherish, and the principles you lead by. And if you lose sight of that, you can really go off track. And the three great seducers, Neil, money, fame, and power. And if you get chasing the gods of money, or maybe not money, maybe it's I want to be famous, or maybe I want to be powerful, that's the easy way to get pulled off course. And so if you're not grounded in who you are, which is your true north, you have no, if you will, divining rod to pull you back. That's the idea of the compass. You could call it the cross, but it pulls you back to yourself and calls you to yourself. We all get off track sometimes in life, yeah. But some people get so far off track they never get back.
Well, it seems like there's probably a lot of outside pressures as well. I mean, those are maybe some internal pressures, but there's outside, whether it's what the business climate or regulations or those kind of things. Are things more volatile today for a major business like when you led Medtronic?
Yes, it's much tougher to be a CEO today. You know what the real pressures are, particularly for publicly held companies, from the stock market? The stock market has become much more short-term. The old average holding period for stocks used to be about 8 years. Now it's less than 6 months. But people want action today on the quarterly earnings. And if you give into that, if you're not well-grounded both yourself as a leader and your organization in what it stands for, you can get you're like a willow being pulled in the breeze in many different directions. And you lose it, and all of a sudden you've sold a great company that's been around for 100 years down the river, and it doesn't exist anymore.
Is that your choice as a CEO, or does that happen sort of from the board of directors or pressure from, Wall Street to say, we need to see more immediate results in your company?
The pressure is clearly from Wall Street and these activist investors, and they're happy to have you take a series of actions that may destroy your organization in the long term, but make that money in the short term. And this is happening every day. I'd like to tell you it's an odd occurrence, but it's happening. And every corporate leader I know feels this. So it's important. I went to a board program last week, and I said it's so important that your board understand the mission and the values of this organization. If you're not clear about that, the mission can't just be to make money. At Medtronic, Earl Bakken wrote our mission, to enable people to be restored to full life and health. If you lose sight of that, a Medtronic is just blowing in the wind.
Talking today with Bill George, we're talking about his books and really his passion. He is the best-selling author of Authentic Leadership. We've also are talking about Discover Your True North. It's been expanded and updated. Becoming an Authentic Leader. We're going to talk about how that, what that looks like, how that happens. I'm curious to know if an authentic leader, if you're a good business leader, you know, CEO of a company like Medtronic, do those characteristics transfer into other things like, say, politics or maybe just serving on boards or even serving in the church?
Certainly serving your church, serving in a nonprofit board, serving on a for-profit board. Absolutely. These translate very directly. I can't tell you if they translate into politics. I guess if you want my honest belief, I'm very confident that the ideas we have in True North, Discover Your True North, would work in any walk of life, except I don't know if you could get elected that way. Because we live in a faux world today where we're not looking at the real person. We're kind of looking at the outer person. And these are all about the inner person, leading from within, who you are. It's not about your style or your charisma or how you can put someone else down that seems to be so important in politics. For me, it's all about who are you as a person, because why would I want to follow you, Neil, if I didn't trust you, if I didn't know who you were, you know, and you hadn't been tested in crisis so that that's the test. Are you going to stay true to your values? It's easy to follow your values and things are going your way, but what if they're not going your way? Will you stay true?
Well, trust is kind of one of the big issues for business in general, isn't it, today? We don't trust big business particularly.
Yes, absolutely. In my era, business CEOs are held up as heroes. We all looked at Jack Welch, a godlike figure, you know, but then we had the Enron and all those companies that collapsed. Then we had the financial collapse of 08 and 09. The trust totally went out of the balloon, and no one trusts any business leader. I can tell you this, though. Today's head of corporations that I know are the best we've ever had in my lifetime, and there's no better group of CEOs than the group right here in Minnesota. Amazing group of people. I know them all personally. Fantastic human being. Very grounded. Very committed to their companies.
Bill, let's talk about as you talk about the five key areas in your personal leadership development plan. We can at least maybe just establish that now. We'll come back and dive into a little bit more after the break. But summarize what's at the heart of Discover Your True North.
Well, I think the key is understanding your life story and who you are as a person and having dealt with really tough times, which we call crucibles. From that, you are able to gain awareness of yourself in the world and how you interact with others. And I think we all have to go through a process, Neil, of moving what Thich Nhat Hanh once said, the 18 inches from your head to your heart. And the heart is where qualities like passion, compassion, empathy, and courage reside. And you can't be a good leader today unless you're a good human being. And to be a good leader, you've got to connect the head, the analytical, decision-making side, practical side, with the heart. Matters of the heart. No one's going to want to follow you unless you're authentic. And that authenticity resides in qualities of the heart. Somebody will look at that as soft. I actually think it's much harder to stay true and to be compassionate, to be empathetic, and have courage and make big, bold decisions. It may not go your way.
Some people listening right now probably say, well, I'm not in a big business. I'm not a CEO. So does this apply to me?
It sure does. Small business. Yeah, middle managers, first line people. Yeah, the great ones. You can be a great leader in your organization if you don't even have a title. You don't need a title. It's not your title. It's how you impact other people. Are you the role model they want to see? Do you live your life in such a way that says, hey, Neil, tell me about your life. I'd like to learn from you so I can lead a better life myself.
Talk a little bit about how maybe that developed for you, because you were kind of on the fast track, I think, in pursuing business, right? And I remember you talking about in the book, taking a drive around a lake on the way home.
Yeah.
Tell a bit about your story.
Well, my father implanted me many years ago the idea that I ought to be a leader and head up a major organization. I think he was trying to make up for what he thought he should have been. And I was at Honeywell. I'd come back from Europe, and I was handed a series of turnarounds. And I'm a builder. I like to interact with employees and customers on an engaged personal basis. And I found myself just chasing numbers. So I turned around one set of business, then the second set of business, and it gave me the third. And immodestly, I was one of the two leading candidates, maybe the leading candidate to become the next CEO of Honeywell. It's 3-4 years away. And I was driving home one day, and I must say, you know, at this stage, my wife Penny and I have been married 17 years, and we had one son in high school and one in junior high, a lot of friends, good life. And I was having a, quote, good career. And I looked at myself and saw that flash in the mirror, the ugly side of Bill George, because what I saw was a miserable person, me. Now, you ask, how can you be miserable, Bill, when you had everything going for you? But inside it, I was losing it. I was losing sight of my true north because I was trying to get that brass ring and become the next CEO and convince everyone I was the man. I was even changing the way I dressed, trying to say just the right thing, not being my normal value-centered, passionate self, but chasing that external gratification of the title. And I came home and told my wife, Penny, this, and she said, Bill, I've been trying to tell you this for a year. You just refused to listen. Because she saw where I was going, and it was harming the family, my relationship with my sons, as well as her. And so I went to my men's group. We've had a men's group that came out of a Christian experience. It's a men's prayer group that's been meeting now. In fact, we'll meet tomorrow morning, 7:15 to 8:30. We've met for 40 years, every Wednesday morning. And we talk about, tomorrow we'll talk about beliefs. We talk about the really important issues of life, and we support each other when we go through difficult times. Well, I was going through a difficult time, and I told them. And he said, what about Medtronic? And I said, well, you'll see the ego coming in. It's kind of a mid-sized company. And they said, why don't you give him a call? So I prayed about it, thought about it, and called the CEO back and eventually met with the founder and came to the company. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me. But if it hadn't been for that flash in the mirror on this beautiful fall day, just like today. So it reminds me of Dante in the start of the Divine Comedy. He says, in the middle of the road of my life, I awoke in a dark wood where the true way was wholly lost. See, my true north was wholly lost, and I was in a dark wood, like wandering in the Gobi Desert, not without any signpost. And I had to come to myself. And if I hadn't been with my wife and my people in my men's group and other close friends, I might never have done that and seen the door that was already open in Medtronic that I wouldn't walk through. And in life, Neil, sometimes one door, you have to close one door behind you to walk through the door in front of you. And I had that blessing, and I tell you, it was the best 13 years of my professional career.
We are going to find out more about some of the steps to take. If you have maybe taken a ride in the dark wood and the way is lost to you, you're going to find some hope and some help as you discover your true north. We're talking today with Bill George, who's a senior fellow at Harvard Business School. He's a best-selling author. He's a former CEO of Medtronic. And he has served on a number of boards and speaks frequently on radio and TV and writes, and we're just glad to have him in studio today. We'll continue in just a moment here on Connecting Faith.
Well.
We're talking about discovering your true north today, becoming an authentic leader, and we're learning from one who has lived it out, has walked and talked. The talk and the walk is matched. Bill George is former CEO of Medtronic, is a senior fellow at Harvard Business School, where he teaches leadership in executive education programs. He's a professor of management practice for a number of years there as well, and authored a number of best-selling books. Has served in leader positions in a variety of ways, and we're honored to have him with us today in studio. He was on the campus of the University of Northwestern speaking to business men and women as well as to students. I had a chance to sit into part of the chapel that he spoke at today, and we'll talk a little bit about that as we go along. By the way, we do have a couple of copies of Discover Your True North available, and we'll do a drawing for that at the end of the hour. So if you would like to sign up for that, just call Chris and give her your contact information. We'll do the drawing at the end of the hour. It's 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, and we'll give you let you sign up for a drawing for the copy of Discover Your True North. We'll give away a couple of copies today. You may have a question as well for Bill George. You're welcome to join in the conversation. Bill, one of the things that we talked about, that authentic, your personal leadership development plan, self-awareness is one of the first things that comes up. It seems like oftentimes maybe leaders, the higher up they go, have less and less people around them to help them be, or maybe they lose their self-awareness? I don't know. What did you experience?
Well, clearly, gaining self-awareness is the hardest thing. And in fact, in Discover Your True North, we've learned a lot in the last 10 years, and we talked about how we did that. So in addition to having processed your crucible and understanding your life story and seeing yourself as an overcomer, not as a victim, I think, you know, we live in a very hectic world, volatile, hectic, ambiguous, 24-7. You can't go 24-7 all the time, and you need to have a practice, at least 20 minutes once a day. I do it twice a day. To pull back into yourself and reflect, you can pray, you can stare up at the sky, you can take a long walk, you can keep a journal, you can do something mindful like meditating, but you need to do something where you're just reflecting, am I doing today what I really want to do with my life? And am I letting the immediate take precedence over the important, or am I focusing on the important things? It's so peaceful in that. And from those, I get great clarity in my thinking and also creativity and a sense of well-being. In addition to that, you mentioned loneliness. I think you need a group of people around you that you really listen to. Who are your truth tellers? Who will come in and say, Bill, you're getting off track here. You're chasing the wrong things. You know, you're too impressed with yourself. You know, you need to have people like that around you. And my men's group has been that. My wife is that. I have some wonderful mentors, people like David Gergen, Nori is Dean of Harvard Business School. I even have a 30-year-old and a 20-year-old mentor because they're teaching me how the millennials think. But if you don't have that and you don't have those truth tellers, you can get way off track. If you think you can just do it alone, you can't. You cannot go alone. You can go with God, but you also need people who reflect that in your life will bring that back to you and say, stay on course, or help you when you feel really down, or if you... A friend of mine just lost his daughter at 19, and who's there for you when that happens? And, you know, it's or if you lose your job, you know, all of a sudden the people thought you were great, you lose your job, they may go away pretty quickly. Those are not your friends.
Yeah, and of course, I know you spoke to the students today, so, you know, they can have hundreds of Facebook friends, but they may not necessarily be their real friends, right, yeah. In the time of need.
And so you need that, and so if you have these two things, that time for reflection and you get honest feedback from people, I think that leads you to have compassion for yourself. And I think without compassion yourself, it's almost impossible to have genuine compassion for others. You can feign it for a while, but you don't have it. And how can we be great leaders unless we have compassion for other people, unless we have empathy on the lives of those who are more difficult than ours? In the case of Medtronic, you'll speak of heart problems, but maybe it's for you're doing financial services and you have any compassion for the people that are struggling financially. And it's having the courage in difficult times to make tough decisions. And that leads you to it. That leads you to actually accepting yourself for who you are. I have lots of flaws, Neil, but I've come to accept those as part of who I am. Just like the good sides are part of who I am, so are the bad sides. I try to ameliorate those. But the first thing I have to do is accept them. I can't just deny that I'm impatient sometimes or I'm too direct or too challenging. And from that comes, I think, self-actualization. In other words, being able to achieve your greatest dreams because you come from such a solid place, a secure place, you're willing to take risks and go all in.
Yeah, because we're all going to come up short, right?
Things are not going to go our way. Yeah. And the real test, like the test of your values, that was the other thing in development. You know, it's not just saying I have good values. And when things are going well, it's easy to practice good values. What do you do when things are not going your way? You know, and do you start blaming other people? Do you recognize that you had a part in that? How do you stay true to your values? Would you cheat just a little bit to kind of get through it and say, well, that was for a greater goal. I was willing to cheat a little bit to get there. No, you have to stay grounded and be that person. Because people are watching you every day. And values are what you do when no one else is looking. It's easy to practice when you're on the spotlight.
Which I would think you have to, you know, more than just 20 minutes a day probably to reaffirm those. You probably need some more serious time to actually really drill down and find out those values, right? I mean, that's not something that you can just put down a list of, well, here's 10 things I'm interested in.
No, and that's what we do in the classroom. We actually have people talking about time. Well, I talk about times I violate my own values, times my values came into conflict. Maybe I'm an extremely loyal person, but integrity is a really important value. What happens if the person you're working for is is doing corrupt things. Okay? Are you going to stay with the loyalty of the person? Or are you going to stay with your integrity? In my view about integrity, it's a value everyone must have, and it's not about the absence of lying. That's not integrity. Integrity is telling the whole story, and it's integrity in relationships. And people insist on that today. It's not that they want it. They insist on it. If they don't have that, they're not going to be with you. They're not going to follow you. They're not going to work with you. So that integrity is a core value everyone must have. And I don't care if you say, oh, I'm in China and I've got to cut, you know, I got to do some unusual business practice to get. No. You just have to say, no, I'm not doing it. This is who I stand for. Because you can spend 30 years building your reputation and you can cheat once and lose it in 30 minutes. So it's important to think about that. Do you have that thing that brings you back to your true north? You say, I'm not doing this. You know, there are a lot of rewards out there. No, I'm not going there.
And that has to be a pretty constant reflection, right, to keep getting recentered?
Yes, yeah. And having a support team around you. Yeah. But it is a constant reflection. But you have to be grounded. And we think the difference between leaders who succeed and those who fail is how well-grounded you are in your beliefs and your values. How solid is your true north? Because if you get off track, will it pull you back quickly? As one famous leader said, John Huntsman, he said, my inner moral compass, his true north, kind of clicked in, and I realized, oh, I'm not going there. He was being seduced by in the White House with a big job, and he said, I'm not going there, you know? And that's what you have to do.
Yeah. To come back to that time and time again. Say a bit more about, we got a break coming up here, but maybe just start talking about team. I mean, is building a strong team around you, is that the same as having people that will tell you the truth? Or are they sort of two separate things?
Well, you want a team that will tell you the truth. It will challenge you and tell you when you're going off track. But let me tell you about the team. If you're the leader of the team, they're not there to serve you. You're there to serve them. I love the idea that Robert Greenleaf had of servant leadership. Your job is to serve first, then you become a leader. But if you think they're to serve you, you're not going to last very long, and no one's going to follow you in a crisis. So you want the team to trust you, and your job is not to exert power over them. Your job is to empower the members of your team to be their best. If you can empower everyone to be their very best and to step up and lead, even if they have no direct reports, you can be a great leader, and they're going to really be there with you because you want to get the most out of them. And I'll tell you, an empowered team will beat a team of top-down leadership every single time over the long run, no doubt about it.
We'll come back and talk a little bit more about maybe leadership style, the top-down leadership versus maybe sort of that flat style of collaborative. We'll get some insights from Bill George about that and a number of other issues as we learn to discover your true north. We're talking about becoming an authentic leader. It's really principles that we can apply in every aspect of life. We've got a couple of copies of Bill's book to give away, and we'd love to have you sign up for it. You can call and get in the drawing for that at 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. And if you have a question for Bill George, the former CEO of Medtronic, you're welcome to drop that our way as well. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and lands.
It's 32 past the hour. You're listening to Connecting Faith. Today been honored to connect with Bill George. Bill serves as he's a former CEO of Medtronic and a senior fellow at Harvard Business School, where he teaches leadership and executive education programs. We'll talk a little bit about that as well. He's a best-selling author, serves on a number of boards, speaks and travels frequently. He was on the campus of the University of Northwestern today, so we had an opportunity to connect with him as he was speaking to students and also leaders. And as the book Discover Your True North says, being a leader is much more than title and management skills. It's fundamentally a question of who we are as human beings. And we're learning that we can become an authentic leader. One of the things that, Bill, you've experienced, and I guess most leaders will at some point or another, is the crucible or the crisis. And that's where you really find out, I guess, kind of what you're made of, right? And if your values are strong enough to hold.
That's the real test, is Neil, when you're in that crucible of life, when you come close to the marrow of life And, you know, can you, everyone gets knocked down. Can you pick yourself up? I remember my close friend, Marilyn Carlson, I was the CEO of the Carlson Companies. And at 19, she got word that her daughter and her husband, Glenn's daughter, Juliet, had been killed in an automobile crash when she was away at college. And Marilyn was just devastated. She actually said she lost her faith because God didn't have any answers. She's very much a person of faith and came back to it. But she said, Glenn and I talked about it, and we decided we just wanted to spend every moment helping people for the rest of our lives to make up for the time our daughter Juliet didn't have. And she's done that. She's one of the most empowering leaders. I cite her twice in the book because she's such an empowering leader. And she's gone around and empowers people all over the world and so inspiring. She was chair of the board of Mayo when I first came on the Mayo board and just such an inspiring leader. But it came out of that crucible and that recognition of how precious life is and how quickly you can lose it.
Is there still a place for faith in the marketplace, in business? I mean, you know, there's a lot of focus on making good money. The big paycheck, as you talked about, those kind of those three things, money, fame, and power. How does faith play a role in the midst of that environment?
I believe you can take your faith into the marketplace. That's what I'm trying to do. That's how I chose this walk of life and try to influence other leaders to be people who live by their values. I certainly would never impose my faith on them, but I think it's really important they live by their values. And I think we do that every day. And corporations that don't have a clear sense of their purpose and mission, if they're just trying to make money, eventually will go out of business. That's how General Motors went out of business, because they didn't have that sense of who they are. Remember Jim Burke, the famous CEO of J&J, when they had the Tylenol crisis. He recalled all the Tylenol, even though J&J didn't do anything wrong. It was a terrorist putting cyanide in these capsules. But Jim said, without a moral center, you will swim in chaos. And I think that's a beautiful statement. You need your own moral center, and your organization needs that moral center. I give you an example, somebody I cite in the book, a wonderful leader, fantastic human being. I didn't know about him. He was orphaned. He was an Indian. He was orphaned when he was 18 and lived in poverty. He never lost. He had that inner desire for financial security. Now, he was worth over $100 million, but instead he got corrupted by an inside trader and gave away vital inside information, some of the most important information, and sadly he's in jail for 2 years. I just think it's a great tragedy. The world has lost a great leader, and he's paying an enormous price for losing sight of he wasn't grounded in his, if you will, his true north.
Which maybe gives us an opportunity to talk about, as you spoke to the college students here at the university, about maybe to start developing their personal leadership style, maybe before they start reading, you know, your book or other books. I mean, what does a young person need to do to really get ready to lead in an authentic way?
So, Neil, leadership is character, not style. So style is the outward manifestation of who we are as leaders. So you can adapt a style. That's not important. What's important is, do you have the character under pressure to stay with it? Okay? And so we have to have different styles. There are times we're inspiring. There are times we're good coaches. There are times we're collaborators. There are other times we have to be directive. We're in a crisis and we say, guys, we're going to have to lay off some people. Or we're going to maybe have somebody that's simply not performing at all, and they'd be happier somewhere else. These are painful things. So in any walk of life, you make painful decisions. But if you do it from a strong sense of being that authentic person, being real and being true to your values, then people will accept who you are. Because, you know, today people know who is authentic and who is not. There was someone who had a theory, you can fake it to make it. You can't fake it to make it. And I'll tell you, the millennials, if you try to fake it, you'll lose them. They can tell within a heartbeat, who's authentic and who's not. So you got to be real today. And what do people want from you? I mean, think of the best leader you ever worked for, Neil. Isn't that person, if you had somebody you really looked to that was true, authentic, and real, that's all you can ask from somebody. Yeah. Not to be charismatic or try to fake a fancy style.
Yeah, you're right. It's speaking of millennials, very much interested perhaps in what contribution making a difference. Have leadership styles changed, or do they need to change to be maybe more collaborative as opposed to top-down?
Absolutely. The top-down bureaucratic style is dead. And millennials, which will make up half the workforce by 2020, are not going to work for that kind of organization. They want to be collaborative. And the interesting thing about this generation, as opposed to many in my baby boomer generation, is they're moving not from self-interest, but from service to others. So they're starting out as servant leaders. I just talked to a group of students here at the University of Northwestern. Amazing. They're really committed. And I said, well, what do you want to do with your life? What would you like to do to get started? I'd like to go work on a mission, or I'd like to help people and, you know, in a homeless shelter or wherever. They're really committed to that sense. You don't have to do something quite that dramatic, but you do have to have that sense of being a servant. And so I'm very positive about this generation of millennials. This could be a return to the greatest generation of post-World War II. That's how good they are if they stay the course. They may lose it, but so far they're on the right track.
But there are a growing number of millennials that are not working and not even seeking work. What are you concerned about that?
It's a terrible problem. Yeah. And our education systems are not right, and we're not. And it's very sad when that happens, and we're not creating enough jobs. And I think entrepreneurship, innovation, small business is where the jobs are going to come from. And we just need to get financing and help for people to start things, because that's where all the jobs come. They don't come from big businesses. They come from the small businesses, the entrepreneurs, the innovators. Medtronic started with two people. Today, thanks to a recent merger, they have 85,000. Okay, those are good jobs. Those are well-paying jobs. There's not a job there that I think anyone would be ashamed to have or couldn't have a good life.
Yeah. It takes some time probably to find our sweet spot. You talk about the sweet spot, right? Can a millennial sort of get that without having a little track record, being out just, you know, dipping their toe in a few different kind of work experiences, or will they know by the time they're graduating?
No, that's exactly what you need to do, to find your sweet. Well, let's define what a sweet spot is. That's where your greatest motivations come together with your greatest strengths. But, Neil, I would say this. When we talk about motivations, there's extrinsic motivation, simply money, fame, and power. And then there's intrinsic motivations, doing a good job, having a good family, developing yourself, being true to your faith and your values, making a difference in the world, leaving something behind. Those are all intrinsic. And so I'm not saying the extrinsic is bad, but you have to keep a balance, and you have to have a sense of your intrinsic. But if you pursue those, at Honeywell, I didn't really have passion for what I was doing. It was a good company, but I didn't have passion for it, so I didn't have the motivation. But then when you get when you put that together, your greatest strengths, you know you're going to do a good job. That's your sweet spot. So don't look for a job that's going to play to your weakness. Play to your strengths and surround people that can complement your strengths. Not everyone can be good in everything. Maybe you're great at designing and creating things, but you're not good at finance. Well, hire a good finance person. You can't be good at everything. But that's your sweet spot. But to get that, you've got to get out and rub up against the world. Don't just say, here's what I'm going to do and do it. You know, go out and try some things. And I think young people, they have many more options than we had to try more things and do it and find out what you really like and what do you love. Do not pursue a career because someone tells you to do it or because you just want to make a lot of money. You know, pursue the career where you really love your work and you're really good at it, and I guarantee you'll be happy and the rewards will follow. That's the little secret. The rewards will follow. Not that they'll lead, they'll follow.
And as you share, you know, when you encountered the CEO of or the chairman of Medtronic, you found a mission that you could endorse, right? You could embrace, right? And mission is so important, isn't it? And
took me a while to find that. Yeah. The thing I'm proudest of at Medtronic, when I went there, the mission of Medtronic is to restore people full life and health. When I went there, we were restoring 300,000 new patients every year to full life and health. Great, exciting mission. When I left, that number had grown to 6 million new patients. Today, it's 15 million. So every place I go, I meet somebody there's somebody on this line today whose life has been benefited by Medtronic product. It only takes one. Doesn't take a million, it takes one. And if you can do that, you know your work is worthwhile. And that's what causes people all around the world in Medtronic to come together and collaborate, because they're collaborating not for themselves, for a purpose, for a mission. And it's outside. And I think missions today need to be focused outward. You know, like Target, I was there yesterday. We provide great goods to people at reasonable prices. And if that's an exciting mission. If you can get it resonate with that, you can do great work.
Yeah. You know, speaking of purpose, I know you share a story about there was a time when your wife experienced a health crisis, and mission and purpose became important to her at that time, didn't it?
Well, Penny changed her whole life. She did have breast cancer, sadly, almost 20 years ago, and went through all the conventional medical treatment. But in that process, she said, I want something more. The question she asked not was, am I going to live, but does my life matter? Well, no oncologist can answer that question. So she set out on a journey to find the answer to that question. Does my life matter? What do I want to do with it? She had just gotten her doctorate in psychology at St. Thomas University. But all of a sudden, 6 months before, the air went out of the balloon after a year of chemotherapy. And she said, you know, what I want to do is transform medicine to look at the whole person, mind, body, and spirit. And a lot of the hardcore doctors said, oh, this doesn't matter. There's actually a tremendous amount of data to say that if you have a sense of purpose in your life, if you have a values base, if you have a faith base, if you have a reason for living, and you have a support group around you, your family and friends, your odds of living are far greater. There's no guarantees in life because we're all going to die. And so she set out on a mission to transform medicine within the Twin Cities and the state of Minnesota and the country. And she's carried that out through the Penny George Institute at Abbott Northwestern. It's now been adopted as one of the primary missions, the Allina Health System. We've taken it to Mayo, taken it to Health Partners and other places. And in addition to that, she's worked nationally with a group of 25 foundations and a collaborative called the Bravewell Collaborative. But she was told, Neil, interestingly enough, girls aren't leaders by her mother. And so your mother even got her to abandon the cheerleaders because, oh, you might embarrass the family. So she still is not looking to lead because she leads from behind. So there are many ways of leading. She leads from behind, and she empowers everyone around her. They love to work with her, and they're willing to give her everything they've got. She doesn't have to be the out front leader that's telling people to follow her. And so that's great. And so she's really stepped up. I'm so proud of her and the work she's doing. It just brings tears to my eyes to think about what she's doing.
And an encouragement for really all of us, everybody listening, that you don't have to lead from front, right? No. I mean, if you're truly your authentic self, it's going to come out, right?
Yeah. Leadership is not your title, okay? It's your capacity to step up to a sense of purpose. And if you can find that purpose, please do step up and lead. We need leaders, not on top. We need leaders throughout organizations and no organizations. We need people who have no direct reports to be the informal leaders, the culture carriers, the values people, the people who carry the mission and the values. That's what we need in every organization. But in our church and our nonprofits, you can always see those people. They're the informal leaders that people look to, particularly in a crisis. They come to them. So you can be that leader. Everyone listening in today can be a leader because we're all given gifts for our Creator. This is what I believe. It's a height of arrogance to think you created your own gifts. We are given gifts from birth. Each of us is unique. We take those gifts and we develop those gifts to God's glory. And at the end of the day, we can look back and say, did you use your gifts, like the parable of the talents? Or did you bury your gifts? Well, if you used your gifts and you did the best you could, even if you stumbled a few times, what more could anyone ask from you? And you've given everything you've got, and you can look back and say, my life was worthwhile. It did matter. It mattered to a few people, whether they're members of your family, members of your organization. You can't change the whole world, but you can change the world that you're a part of every day.
Talking today with Bill George about True North, Discover Your Authentic Leadership, the personal leadership development plan centered on five key areas: knowing your authentic self, defining your values and leadership principles, understanding your motivations, building your support team, staying grounded by integrating all aspects of your life. We'll talk more about that with Bill, who's a respected senior fellow at Harvard Business School, and he is a former CEO of Medtronic. He's also been in business for a number of years and sharing with us today here on campus. Glad to have him listening in. We do have two copies of Discover Your True North that we're going to give away at the end of the hour, and you're welcome to sign up for that. We'll do a drawing here at the end of the hour. If you give us a call at 877-93-FAITH, we'll put your name in for that, 877-933-2484. And if you have a question or comment, too, you're welcome to join us with that. Or if you'd like to drop us a note, you can always use the email function. Go to myfaithradio.com and then click on the Connecting Faith show page, and there's an email link right there. You can send your question right there, and we'll continue with Bill George more in just a moment. The hour and spending some time today with Bill George, former CEO of Medtronic, as a senior fellow at Harvard Business School, And he's authored several best-selling books, including Authentic Leadership, A True North, Finding Your True North, and Seven Lessons for Leaders in Crisis. And you can find out more, actually, about his writings and even maybe some assessments that you could take, some help you get along the way, at their website, discoveryourtruenorth.org. Discoveryourtruenorth.org. I recommend that to you. Bill, you teach at Harvard. You're teaching ethics in a culture that kind of values pragmatism and rationality over right and wrong. I mean, right and wrong doesn't really even show up in the conversation much anymore. How do you go about doing that? What are some key ways that you can have inroads there?
Well, it certainly shows up in the conversation in my classroom.
Okay.
Because it's all about right and wrong. But, you know, it comes from your grounding. And if you're a leader that doesn't know the difference, you can't be a good leader. If you can't connect the head and the heart and that sense of values, you can't just be rational. A lot of the worst decisions in the world were made by rational people going to the Vietnam War. You know, the people that got into the financial crisis, don't think that these weren't rational people. Okay, they just weren't well grounded in their values. Some of the people that are now gone, like I talk about Richard Fuld at Lehman Brothers, who sacrificed his company because he was a rational man, but he lost sight of his true north. Okay, and this happens a lot, but it harms so many other people. All the leaders I've seen fail, Neil, failed because not a lack of intelligence. I've not seen one yet to fail for lack of IQ. They fail for lack of emotional intelligence, like that grounding in their values and their belief structure. That's where they fail.
What's the is there one question or one issue that comes up more often when you do these? You're doing senior leadership teaching at Harvard. It's the executive education program. So is there one issue that they keep coming back to? Say, Bill, help us with this.
Yeah, I buy into everything you're saying. I buy into this just the way I'm trying to lead every day. But I tell you, the pressures of the stock market are so great to cut corners, to produce the quarterly numbers. And it's so hard. How do you withstand it? And I say, you know, you got to perform in the short term. It's like sports team. You got to win the game so you qualify to go to the next round. But if you do it by sacrificing long term, shame on you. That's not leadership. So you got to figure out how to do that so that you can pursue and develop your mission for the long term. And the great companies of the world are the ones that stay the course. And even if they hit rough times, General Mills, one of the great companies of the world, but it's hitting rough time now because consumer foods tastes are changing. They'll adapt. They'll come out of it. They'll come out even stronger. And so you go through those tough times. And I think that's the one question people ask. And that's where they lose it, too, by the way.
You know, speaking of long term, is it ever too late to maybe create a personal leadership development plan?
Well, I think we all need that personal plan. And it comes out of, you know, no one's going to give it to you. You have to say, what's right for me and how do I develop myself? But I think a lot of it comes understanding your purpose. And I love the words of Jim Wallis, who is the founder of Sojourners. He says, your vocation comes from where the crying needs of the world intersect with your gifts. I said earlier, Neil, you didn't create your gifts. But how are you going to meet the crying needs of the world? Ask, and he says, rather than looking for opportunities to climb the ladder, ask what you are called to be. He said, if your vocation is just an extracurricular, you're in trouble. The difference between career and vocation is central to your leadership. Your leadership is what you do every day in your work and your relationships. That's finding your true north. And that's what I believe, that it's never too late. You can start right now, and you don't need a title, but you can make a big difference through your work if you have a belief that your call to do something is going to help the world.
You mentioned Jim Wallis is one of the leaders that you speak about in the book, Discover Your True North. You've done, 100 plus, maybe a couple of hundred, I guess.
170, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of. So any maybe favorite stories or just leaders that you've encountered that you say, you know, this person really inspired me? So.
Well, yes, a lot. A man named Ken Frazier, whose grandfather was a slave. Ken's only 58, so that means his grandfather was born before 1863, 152 years ago. He's still inspired by the narrative started by his grandfather. His grandfather got his father out of South Carolina. He lived in the most poorest area of Philadelphia. There's nothing in the Twin Cities compares to it. And his mother died when he was 12, and his father called him in and said, Ken, today is a good day. your mother died today. She is at peace. He said, that is faith in action. And Ken carries that with him every day. He got the privilege of going to Penn State on a scholarship, got a scholarship to Harvard Law School, and he saved Merck from some very significant lawsuits. And he is now the CEO, and he's not a scientist, but he empowers scientists every day. He said, my purpose is to create drugs that can help people 10, 20, maybe even 50 or 100 years from today. And meanwhile, he said to me, Bill, how should I handle this? The stock market is being very critical of me, all the money I'm spending in research. I said, Ken, stay the course. And he does. He's got that deep faith that he's going to keep going. He's just a great human being, and I have such admiration for him.
You know, speaking of staying the course, you've had the opportunity to serve in a variety of capacities. Now you can serve on boards and provide some leadership for others. What's the encouragement for staying the course, maybe for finishing well? I mean, I'm sure we all think about that. So, you know, we're not going to live forever. We want to be able to come to the end of our life and say, yeah, I was a good steward of the talent that God gave me. So.
Well, a lot of people, you go through a period, I told the students today, the first 30 years of your life is really preparation for leadership. As we said earlier, Neil, you're rubbing up against the world. Then you go through a period 30 to 60 where you're kind of in your peak leadership. Then you get to 60, and what are you going to do now? You got another 30 years to live, the good Lord willing. How are you going to use that time? A lot of people kind of retire and pack it in, move out of state, go somewhere else, a nice warm climate. I say don't do that. Stay alive, stay engaged, get together with people and the millennials and the Gen Xers and different generations, be with your families, really be engaged, but take some on. You don't have to be CEO of a company. You know, take on a committee at your church or in your nonprofit organization. Join one, create one, but do something where you're really making a difference. And also be a mentor and coach and role model for younger people coming along. I have the privilege of mentoring dozens of people right now, and it's such a gift that I have the opportunity to engage with them on a regular basis. And I take great pleasure in their accomplishments. I have nothing to do with it, but I just take great pleasure in seeing how well they're doing. And it just gives me a sense of satisfaction to even know people that are doing such amazing things, each in their own way. And we have a foundation, Neil, that we're giving ultimately all of our money away. My wife's running it. And we've put about a third of our net worth there in our family foundation. But, you know, we're getting behind leaders who make a difference in the world. And as we get behind these leaders, it's amazing what they can do.
One of the things I know you spoke to the students today, and we've got a minute left or so, you talked about nourishing your roots. And that's probably something where we can leave with our listeners today, that there's we can't ignore the roots, can we?
No, we're like giant oak trees that flourish every spring. The leaves die this time of year. They come back. Looking at oak tree right out the window. But you know what, Neil? Those trees are not nourished from the branches. The leaves aren't nourished. It's from the roots. And if you cut yourself off at the trunk, you'll die. So if you cut yourself off from your roots, your life story, who you are, your beliefs, your purpose, ultimately you're going to wither away and die. And so that's why it's so important to keep doing that. And there are many ways to do it. You can do it through your faith. You can do it through your relationship. But the important thing is you keep coming back to yourself and who you are, and what more can anyone ask you that you take your gifts and use them to God's glory? I mean, that's all we could ask of anyone, and isn't that a gift to be able to do that?
Bill, what an honor to have you with us today. Thank you for what you've done in terms of leadership and also mentoring and just encouraging with us today. We've benefited from it.
Thanks. Well, it's been a privilege to have a chance to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Talking with Bill George today about his book, Discover Your True North. Bill, former CEO of Medtronic and the senior fellow at Harvard Business School. You can find out more about what you've heard today by going to the website discoveryourtruenorth.org, discoveryourtruenorth.org. And if you missed part of the program today or maybe want to pass it on to a friend, you can always go to that. We post our interviews online at the Connecting Faith Show page at myfaithradio.com. So you can just go there and make the connection to Connecting Faith.